Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Dr. Jolie Proudfit, Director of the California Indian Culture and Sovereignty Center at Cal State San Marcos.
Awesome. And of course, I wanted to talk to you because I know, you know, it's Thanksgiving week, but the day after Thanksgiving is Native American Heritage Day. And I know we're in Native American Heritage Month all month long now. And, you know, I just wanted to talk about how Native Americans have been represented in cinema over the years. I mean, we all know, the Westerns of the 30s and 40s and, you know, a lot of the racist depictions as savages and all that kind of stuff. I know there were movies like, you know, Broken Arrow and The Searchers. They started to address some racist attitudes, but not really until, you know, the 90s did we start seeing them depicted as heroes with, you know, Dances with Wolves, Last of the Mohicans. But even that was still told through a white filmmaker's lens. So I wanted to bring you in here to get your insight here on maybe 10 films that you know, maybe some of our listeners haven't even heard of, a lot of them. So let's go through the list you sent me. Number one, Smoke Signals. What's that about?
Smoke Signals was the first feature film made by Cheyenne Arapaho director Chris Eyre. It was adapted by a short story from the Spokane Coeur d'Alene author Sherman Alexie from one of his short stories in an anthology, The Lone Ranger and Tonto, Fistfight in Heaven. And it was only recently, in 2018, inducted into the Library of Congress National Film Registry, recognizing director Chris Eyre's enduring debut feature as a culturally historical and aesthetically significant film. But it's a beautiful story about self-discovery. The two characters, Victor and Thomas, live on the Coeur d'Alene Reservation in Idaho, and they go on a road trip. And through this road trip, they discover this enduring partnership and friendship, and their, I guess their loves for their native heritage, but also in contrast with kind of popular cultural stereotypes. And Victor is played by Adam Beach, and he loves and despises his abusive father, who's played by Gary Farmer. And in contrast, Thomas is played by Evan Adams. And today, Evan Adams is a medical doctor who reveres Arnold, which is the father played by Gary Farmer, because Gary Farmer, when they were children, rescued him in a house fire. And so he always looked up to him and saw him as a father figure. Well, they go on this road trip because Arnold, played by Gary Farmer, dies. And this road trip is really about this beautiful road trip journey film of these, you know, two young men and the characters that they meet along the way. It won the Sundance Filmmakers Trophy and Audience Award back in 1998. And it's just the favorite film, I think, for most Native peoples, because it was really the first time we got to see ourselves directed, produced, written, acted by Native peoples. And it's just a lighthearted film that's something we could all relate to. And it was set in a contemporary, you know, time. The film has such lasting legacy that every Halloween, children, babies, 2-3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds dress up like the two iconic characters, Victor and Thomas.
Wow. Awesome. And so it makes sense to put that first. And I, people will see Chris show up as a filmmaker on several other films on your list, so stay tuned. But next, tell me about Sidney Freeland's Drunk Town's Finest.
Yeah, this is a great film. It came out in 2015. She's a writer-director, and this was her feature debut. It's the first time that Sidney really, you know, we get to see how she humanizes the struggles that Native Americans face on some of these reservations, and especially with issues like stereotypes, broken families, chronic unemployment, alcoholism, kind of criminal behavior, but she humanizes it. It's not seen through a stereotypical poverty porn lens. And she works really hard to dispel those stereotypes by kind of spinning it into this really moving human drama. And it's just a beautiful film set on the Navajo reservation. It was executive produced by Robert Redford. And it uses the storytelling of three interlocking stories about kind of fractured, you know, human beings searching for a sense of, I don't know, wholeness and humanity. And it's just a great film. And it was Sydney's feature debut, and she's gone on to do several other films, and she's working in TV now, so I'd really recommend it.
Awesome. Next up, you have A Thousand Roads. Chris back again.
Yes. Chris Ayers' A Thousand Roads was done actually for the opening of the National Museum of the American Indian. It's a 40-minute film that it's just a beautiful overview of indigeneity, which focuses, you know, in indigenous communities in the United States, but also takes this down to South America. And it looks at the lives of four Native Americans as they, you know, confront their own issues or crises in one single day. And so it's just a really beautiful film. And the way it's been shot and the way the stories were told through these four different Native and Indigenous communities through this lens of one single day, it's something for audiences to see.
Sounds great. And it's cool that has the tie into the museum. If anyone in D.C. remembered the Smithsonian Museum opening, maybe they saw it. And if they haven't, then check it out now. All right. Next up, you have from 2009, Barking Water. Tell the listeners about that.
Oh, Barking Water. That's one of my favorite films, so much so that I actually wrote a piece for a book series, Race in American Film. And Barking Water is a film by director Sterling Harjo, who tells a story of true love. And who doesn't love a film about true love? And he tells the story of these two characters. It centers on Frankie, played by Richard Ray Whitman, who Sterling has a tendency to use in several of his films. And I love Richard's work, who is dying from cancer. And his ex, played by Casey Camp Hornick, who is this amazing actress and activist. And they go on a road trip. He left her many years ago, and now he's dying, and he wants to see his families and his relations before he passes on. And so they take a journey, and they kind of rediscover themselves, and they laugh and they cry. And, you know, it's just a nice human story about feelings and emotion. And it's just a lovely way to see Native peoples, you know, just growing and learning and living. And also with their nuanced and layered emotions that we typically don't get to see in films that are not made by Native people. So this beautiful film is, you know, both funny, it's poignant. I think everybody can relate to a sense of loss and a sense of love. So I highly recommend Barking Water.
Sounds great. And our listeners can find trailers to all these on the website as you're listening to this. So you can peruse through and see, you know, a taste of what each one has to offer. Okay, and then next up you have Edge of America. Chris back again.
Yes. Edge of America is a great film. I've been teaching Native cinema for 26 years, and this is a favorite of students everywhere. It's loosely based, it's a 2003 film that's loosely based on actual events. Edge of America presents this kind of classic, you know, Cinderella story of a sports team with a unique, I guess, Native twist. It's a basketball team, a Native American high school on a reservation in the Southwest, and it has a new coach who happens to be African American. He's young and, you know, he's hardworking and he's different. He's Black, and he doesn't understand the culture of these kids, and he doesn't understand why they're not kind of falling in line. And like many other sports stories, this movie really allows children to kind of work through issues and how people work through issues and kind of come together. And it's just an uplifting story. And, you know, I like to showcase those because you know, a lot of what we see in Native cinema are kind of tragic tales. But this show really shows the three-dimensional characters and really, you know, highlights their hopes and their strengths, their weaknesses, their talents. And it's a great, great cast. It features James McDaniel as the African-American coach, Irene Bedard, Delana Studi, Misty Upham, who's no longer with us, Eddie Spears, Cody Lightning, Wes Studi, just to name some of the, you know, cast members. And it earned Chris Eyre a DGA win for this film. So it's a great uplifting family story, family drama. And, you know, again, through the lens of a girls sports team and a basketball story, who doesn't love a good basketball story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's from Hoosiers to the to Edge of America. Okay, cool. So next up, we have another acclaimed movie that I know it was acclaimed at Berlin Film Fest and at Sundance, On the Ice.
Oh, yes, it's a great film. 2011, the Andrew Opea McLean director, writer of this film. He directed this film. It's about two teenage boys who've grown up like, I guess, like siblings. And they go about in their, you know, life in this isolated small Alaskan town. And you kind of see the difficulty of and the challenges of living in this kind of isolated town, not just because of the isolation, but these are teenagers, right? And so they get bored and kind of the claustrophobia that sits in. And so it's a really dramatic film. So one day they go on a seal hunt with another teenager, which is typical for that region. And an argument kind of happens between the boys and an accident happens. And somebody gets hurt. Perhaps somebody dies. I don't want to tell too much about the film. But there's a secret. There's a bond of a secret. And what these young boys do to survive and, you know, the lasting impact that this has on them. So it's a really good dramatic film and pretty moving. I would highly recommend this, On the Ice.
Great. And speaking of dramatic, we have a bit of a family drama with a little bit of a thriller vibe. Mecco, tell me about that.
Oh, Mecco. This is also a film by Sterling Harjo. His last feature film, and it's a pretty dark film, and it's fairly nuanced at every level. I mean, Sterling's just, he's such a talent, and this film uses flashbacks and memories, and it really tells the story of a character played by Rod Rondeau, who's just really talented in his portrayal of this formerly incarcerated Native man who comes home and, you know, the issues that he faces and the characters that he encounters. And Sterling uses let me start again on that one because I just kind of lost my train of thought.
Oh, okay.
Sterling takes a very serious approach to telling the story using some of the traditions and I might have lost for words on this. I don't want to say something that comes off so stereotypical, but it's a dark story in many ways because of the character played by Zahn McLarnon, who I've never seen Zahn play such a dark character, but I think Sterling's storytelling and the way he uses kind of light and memory and flashbacks to tell the story reels audiences in. And Zahn is an audience favorite and an actor that people will know from Westworld and film and TV series, as well as many movies. But to see him portrayed in this film in such a dark way, using black and white images. A ghost town is just a very interesting way to bring this story to life. And I think the story is something that I had hoped it would have gotten distribution, because I think it was one of Sterling's best projects, but it's a good story and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. And next you have a short film, a narrative short, Little Chief, that just came out this year. Why was it so important to include this short among your 10?
Yeah, so I program a couple of film festivals, and this film came straight out of Sundance, and I programmed it in February. Erica Tremblay is somebody to watch. She is, I think, planning on making this into a feature narrative. And it's just a moving, powerful narrative short that explores the life of a Native woman and a little boy, a 9-year-old boy, over one day, a school day on a reservation, and she's a teacher. And it's just a really kind of haunting, moving, but utilizes the brilliant skills of actress Lily Gladstone and this young newcomer, Julian Ballantyne, as the little boy Bear. And for short, it leaves you wanting more and wanting to know the rest of the story. So it's, the acting is just really great. But I think this is a director to watch, a storyteller to watch, Erica. And I think if you see this short, you'll be waiting for a feature.
Well, hopefully she gets it. Yeah, thanks for tipping us off. But I always love to find those, you know, those diamonds in the rough rising filmmakers and then watch them grow. So thanks for including that one. Okay, and then the ninth, second to last on your list, you have, again, not in any order, but you have Rumble, the Indians Who Rock the World, a music documentary for anyone that loves music to learn a slice of music history. Maybe they didn't know about the achievements of Native Americans in the music industry.
Right. When you asked about films, about the Native American experience, I kind of thought about that. And I wanted to include films that not only showcased our experiences as people, but also the experience that we have brought to others. And so Rumble is a documentary made by Catherine Bainbridge, who's non-Native, but it's produced by Stevie Salas, who is a Native American rock and roll star. And this is a terrific documentary that I've screened multiple times. And in fact, I've worked with the Teach Rock Foundation, the Rock and Roll Forever Foundation, that Stevie Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen's band.
Yes.
I've started. And the Rock and Roll Forever Foundation is a foundation that he started, and he has a whole curriculum that goes with the film Rumble. So audiences can use this documentary to learn more about American Indians and our lives and our experiences. But it's a great, great film. Rumble is the guitar instrumental recorded by Shawnee musician, guitarist Link Ray in 1957. And it's an instrumental that was deemed not able to be played on the radio for fear of inciting violence. Wow. And if you can even believe that would happen. And so this is a great film because there's like intersections of race and culture and music, and, you know, Martin Scorsese's in it, Iggy Pop is in it, Robbie Robertson. So I think audiences walk away with like, I had no idea how influential American Indians are in rock and roll and our music. So it's a documentary about the role of Native Americans in popular music history. And it's just mind blowing. And I love the film. And you know, you cannot smile after watching this film. And it's just such an uplifting film for Native people, because it really showcases the contributions that we have made to popular culture.
Yeah, it sounds like I have a feeling a lot of our listeners will gravitate to that one immediately when they hear about it. All right. And then, wrapping up the list, you have another documentary, Warrior Women. Tell me what that's about.
Yeah, so Warrior Women's a great film. It's a documentary by Elizabeth Castle. And It's co-directed by Elizabeth Castle and Christina King. Came out in 2018. And it's a documentary about mothers and daughters, and in particular about Madonna Thunderhawk, who was or is a member of the American Indian Movement, and her daughter Marcy. And in the early 1970s, Madonna, along with some other mothers, started a survival school and wanted to instill cultural traditions with their children. And, you know, to teach them how to be strong warrior women. And it's a really great insight into the role that women play in the American Indian Movement, but also motherhood, the relations between mothers and daughters. It's funny. And it's a wonderful unveiling of the female perspective of history, but it also examines the political struggles that our children bear when they have to witness some of these, you know, kind of struggles. So it's just a very cool film, and any opportunity I get to showcase women and the role of Native women, especially in our history, our movement, our present, it's well worth audiences' time to check out Warrior Women.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like 10 great films that we can all check out over this week as we celebrate, you know, Native American Heritage Day on Friday. You know, just before we run, big picture it for me. You know, what should folks, you know, that maybe they've seen some of these films or maybe they've seen none of them, or just even beyond films, you know, what should folks, you know, that maybe aren't, you know, indigenous folks, what should we be, you know, keep in mind as we head into this holiday? You know, why is it important to continue this conversation?
Well, I think it's important to continue this conversation because, you know, the limitations that have been placed on Native peoples through others telling our own story has really done a disservice to us. And so, you know, I encourage audiences to get out there and watch films made by Native people, read literature written by Native people, you know, buy art produced by Native peoples, and kind of see the beauty and the diversity that is Native America. We've all seen examples of inaccurate cultural portrayals of Native peoples, which has really contributed to the marginalization and dehumanization of Native people. So I think it's all of our responsibility to, you know, change that narrative. And the best way to do that is by seeing Native peoples as they choose to see themselves. So this notion of narrative sovereignty, you know, we want to be able to tell our own stories. We want to be able to produce our own fashion. We want to be able to write our own books and narratives, and seeing us as human beings. So Hollywood has had a significant power in shaping societal attitudes towards us. And I'm glad to say that Hollywood is now providing opportunities for us to, you know, reshape those and tell it from a Native perspective. So I think audiences are probably getting burnt out on the same old Hollywood stories. So do themselves a favor and check out Indigenous cinema, Native cinema. This is just a list of some of the Native films, documentaries and shorts made by Native Americans, but there are amazing films by Indigenous Canadians, Indigenous Australians, Indigenous New Zealanders, Maoris. And so there's just a lot of interesting and cool dynamics happening in arts and entertainment that is being led and driven by Native peoples. So I would say check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and lending your voice to this conversation. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm excited to watch some of the ones I haven't seen.
cool. Yeah, check it out. And just remember that, you know, yes, Native American Heritage Month is November, but every day is Indian Day. It's a good day to be Native. And, you know, let's not limit a particular people to a month or to a day. And since we are the first people of the Americas, I would hope that not only do people entertain themselves with watching these films, but they learn a little bit about whose land they're on and a little bit about the history that what makes us tick and what makes Native America truly great is the diversity of the tribes and its people. So learn a little something, entertain yourself, and you know, really celebrate Native American culture.
That's the perfect place to leave it. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Sure. Take care.